Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Well, you guys know, as much as I love great books, I also enjoy great music. So today I'm really excited to welcome back Sean Soho to our program. He's part of the group Crash Midnight. Always have loved their music. Their latest project is called Lost in the City. The last time that Sean was on the program, it's actually the project that we were talking about. They actually have a new single that they released this year, though, called 151 from that project. We're going to let you guys hear that a little bit later and talk to Sean not only about the journey with the group, but what it's been like for him to be able to share his journey in music with the world and to see the way that people literally around the world are responding to it. If you guys have not gotten the album, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Sean, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
It's great to be back here, Cyrus. I know the last time we were talking, I was about to sing the national anthem at the Patriots game last year.
Exactly.
And this year, you know, congratulations all around to the Patriots for a fantastic season, and big thank you to them for playing our other single, Welcome to Boston, here all season long. So we're very happy to have a very small part in that fantastic season for them.
Right, right. Well, let's start the conversation there, Sean, because that in itself is a huge thing. I mean, to have that opportunity, that is not the easiest song, as you know, for people to, because we have some, you know, examples of that. But, I mean, what was that like for you? I mean, how surreal was it, first of all, to be able to walk out there and to sing that?
You know, what was great is I've got actually a couple of friends who are on the coaching staff at this point, and mm-hmm. I got to, when I was doing the warm-up, they bring you out there before, you know, anybody even gets into the stadium while everybody's out tailgating and preparing to get into the stadium mentally. They bring you out, and you have to kind of, you know, acclimate yourself to the PA and everything. And, you know, one of my buddies that I hadn't seen in years is running the stairs. He's actually one of the defensive back coaches. And he comes down and he jumps in there and he's saying hi to me. And I just finished, you know, scooting around with a microphone and screaming, you know, the national anthem throughout the stadium. So I got to see him. And then I go on and you know, I'll tell you what, the singing in a stadium like that is, it's not so much the difficulty of the song, it's the difficulty of fighting against the delay that you hear coming back at you. It's sizable. It's not just like a little echo kind of delay like you might get at some venues. This is about a 3-second delay. So you're hearing, you know, coming back at you about 3 seconds worth of words that you sang 3 seconds ago. So you're like, just have to stay inside your own head and, you know, try to hit the notes with all that happening.
Right.
So, but it was fantastic. And we got so much great feedback. I got, I actually, when I was going to the seats, they give you like really nice seats after you perform the anthem. And it turned out that my other friend who's in the scouting department over there was about a section over from us, and while we were trying to find our seats, I walked right past him, and I got to see him too. So it was a really cool day, and so many people in Boston were just so supportive. You know, I couldn't walk in the bathroom in a beer stand without, you know, talking to somebody, and and I even got recognized a couple times after that, which was cool.
Right.
Walking around and actually walking in Trader Joe's, which I want to plug while I'm here because I'm drinking their whiskey. It's a $16.99 Trader Joe whiskey. And I just want to let all of our fans and your fans know that this is now the whiskey of choice of Crash Midnight. It's inexpensive and a cheap date like we are, but it's surprisingly good. So
wow.
Get yourself down to Trader Joe's, and there you go, Trader Joe's. Give us some free whiskey.
There you go, Trader Joe's. you've heard it here. So you know what you just talked about is one of the things I mentioned to you before we went live, Sean, that I wanted to discuss, and that was, and one thing I'm learning to do more of, I have not been good at this myself, admittedly, but trying to really appreciate those moments that will never come again. There will never be moments like them. Has that been one of the great things for you to kind of reflect on, like what you just shared? I mean, walking out there, you know, doing the test run, and then, you know, being able to be recognized for that, but then also knowing that you did your best. Is that, you know, part of this journey for you now, being able to take those moments in?
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I can tell you right off the top of my head, like another one that equated to that was when we went on our tour with the Pretty Reckless and Natalie This Way this fall.
Okay.
We opened up at the House of Blues here in Boston. So the first show was right in our hometown. I mean, you can't dial it up any better than that. and to hear the crowd react to us playing a hometown show for the first time in really a year and a half, you know, on that side, on that scale with a sold out House of Blues show, and then to play Welcome to Boston on that was just fantastic. I mean, you hear the crowd singing back to you, and I mean that's something that we'll never forget. You know, just like the Patriots performance, it's just, you, as you go through your career, I think you find there's certain milestones. You know, whether it's your family being at a show, or you know, a loved one, or something like that, or just a certain event, which we seem to be we seem to have no shortage of those, of some sort of crazy event happening. But those are the things that really stick with you, and it makes it worthwhile because nobody else gets to have those experiences. And we really, really appreciate that, and as well as what the fans have done for us to allow us to have those experiences.
Right. I think that is the thing for sure. So let's go back a little bit. I mean, because as I was saying to you before we went live, you know, this year, you know, I mean, I think you guys are celebrating 9 years, right? With, I mean, it's a group.
Yeah. Is that what it is? I'm glad somebody's keeping track. Because
yeah. Because I was thinking it was 2006, if I remember it, from our first conversation. Yeah, and so I know that our book club also debuted in 2006, and we're celebrating 9 years this year, and I thought about that. So here you are, you know, less than a decade into this.
Yep.
And literally with fans, Sean, around the world, I mean, sharing music that you love to make, and I think that has to be the biggest part of this. Do you see that as the greatest reward, that they are loving you for you?
You know, I think the fans are the entire reason that we're here, and it still blows me away just how many people from so many different walks of life, so many countries, and just how many fans we've had for so long. I was actually here's a story for you. So I've been doing this so long, like you said, that, you know, I have certain, I don't know, favorite things that I would wear on stage. For example, I think back when we were first starting out, maybe 2006, 2007, we were playing this place in New York City down Bowery, you know, St. Mark Street, that kind of area called the Continental. Still there, it doesn't really do the live music stuff anymore. But they were right down the street from CBGB and all that. And I remember going out, you know, to all the shops on St. Mark's, and we picked up some shirts and stuff before the show, and I picked up this white Ramones shirt. And that shirt has been with me for, you name it, 2007 to now. I can't do math, but I'm sure you can do it better than I can. And it's falling apart and all this stuff. And we also had, like, I have a New York Doll shirt and stuff. And I'm thinking of this as I have, you know, I have some stuff open up here in my on my computer, because I'm going to replenish the old shirts that are falling apart.
Wow. That was
my favorite shirt. I need to get a new one.
Right.
So, you know, that's just really a test of time, is we just wear out the stuff that we have had for so long back in the day here, that we have to go back and be like, all right, well, I've been at this so long, we need a new pair of things that we only wear on stage.
Right. It
really kind of, it makes you take a step back and realize just how long this journey has been and all the places that we've gone.
That's right. And how you've had fans that have gone along the ride with you. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live, excited to welcome back to our program Sean Soho of the group Crash Midnight. We're talking to him not only about the amazing things he's been up to since his last conversation with us, but also what it's been like for him as they're getting ready to celebrate 9 years in this industry as a group, you know, to be able to share great music. This album, as I said, that, you know, that this single is from, Lost in the City, I mean, it's so personal and so many different ways. I remember, you know, the first time we talked about it, we were playing the single Welcome to Boston. You know, and of course, Boston's been in the news a lot lately anyway. You know, do you think the city is almost a part of the group as well for you, Sean?
Well, it's a very interesting dynamic, and I know I've read this in the numerous biographies of other artists, that you always kind of have a love-hate relationship with your city. You know, especially because it's the place that it's kind of like when a kid's trying to break free of his parents, you know, and
yeah,
they go through that rebellion and everything. And there's stuff that we love about this city, and there's stuff we hate about this city. And I think you're going to find that in any artist as they come up, because you live and breathe this environment. And all of it, whether it's the stuff that you hate or the stuff that you love about it, motivates you creatively to become who you are, and it shapes exactly what your sound is and what you write about. And I think Welcome to Boston really epitomizes all of that, because it epitomizes the the attitude of people in the city in both ways, both in the way that we always have a chip on our shoulder, and you see that there's a lot of street fights and stuff that happen in Boston. It could be all the Irish blood rolling around here, but you also see the way that they come together as a community, and it really, I always describe it this way. It's kind of like having a sibling where, you will give your sibling no end of grief on what they wear, what they look like, what they're doing with their lives, all that kind of stuff. But anybody messes with your sibling and immediately there's that bond where you have their back. And that's what I see in Boston. There's no place like it here,
Right.
It really is a special place.
Yeah. And I think that is what definitely makes, you guys who you are, too. Realizing that and its place. So talk to us about 151. I remember when I saw the post on Facebook about the radio single. Talk to us about what was it like for you to begin the year with that, first of all, going to radio, but also for it to be that particular song from this project.
I love that our single is 151. It just, it really encapsulates everything this band is about. So 151 wasn't even supposed to be a song. And I don't know if we really got that far into this in our previous interview, because it's kind of, this has taken on a life of its own at this point. But 151 was really something we were just screwing around with. When we first started out, didn't have two nickels to rub together, that kind of thing. We were scraping together money to go get, booze for the parties that we were throwing, because damn, if we're not going to throw a party, we'll just do whatever we can. And for like $23, you can get 151, and that would be something you could, cut with Dr. Pepper, and we'd call it Jet Fuel, which actually made it into the lyrics of the song. And we could get, all the guys, could party that night, and anybody that came over and was, brave enough to drink it would, be able to party with us that night. Then we found out that a place down the street in Somerville, Massachusetts, actually bottled a cheaper version called Roberto, and that was $16.99. So we would just go down and, every night get one of those. And our lead guitarist, Alex, his family has been in the bar industry in Columbus, Ohio, and one of his uncles was talking to us one night. And this is a couple of years after we had been, doing this, nonstop. And he's like, 151 is something you're really only supposed to have like a couple of times a year. It just destroys your insides. Mm. I'm like, oh, God, I guess we must have had a lifetime supply in a week. So it became like our drink of choice, I guess, or it was forced on us as the drink of choice. And as such, we were, we were partying one night, and song Guns N' Roses' Night Train kind of came on, and we were just, we were whatever. Appreciates the Wind and kind of playing around off of that song and inserting 151 into the lyrics. And we didn't think it was going to be anything. We just kind of played around with it. And then all of a sudden people would be like, oh yeah, play that song. Every time we were having parties, somebody would ask for it. And then people would call it out at the show. And eventually we were just like, okay, we're going to need to make this into a real song, kind of like strip it back down and redo it if everybody's going to ask for it. And of course that would be the song that's our first single. Nothing would make more sense with this band. The way this ride has gone, that is exactly the song that needs to be the single then.
Wow. So, amazing. I mean, what a great story. No, we did not get into that the last time that you
We have a car crash and we get a band name. We drink too much and we find ourselves a single that was supposed to be a joke.
There you go. Yeah, and now it's a single that's available for the world to be able to enjoy on radio as well as on the album Lost in the City. Here is Crash Midnight with that single. We'll be back with our final moments with Sean right after this. You guys stay with us.
Yeah.
There you have Crash Midnight with 151 from their album Lost in the City. We actually have been speaking with Sean Soho of the group, not only about the group's success, but also what it's been like for him to see the appreciation and the love from the fans for the music. So, you know, there, I'm always curious about what's next, Sean, and you and I talked a little bit before we went live here, and we don't have to go into that part of the conversation, but I will ask you this. I mean, are you excited? I mean, I know for me, every day I'm excited about what's coming up next. I mean, when you look at this year when it comes to Crash Midnight, starting off the year, you know, with this radio single, are you excited about what's ahead?
Well, I'll tell you what, actually, while you were playing that song, I just got an email from our radio guy that it's officially number 76 on the Active Rock chart after only 2 weeks. So, I'm pretty excited. And I just I also found out in this report that KNAC, which you may or may not be familiar with out in L.A., is one of the people that just added the song. And they've gone to another online station. But back in the day, some listeners might remember them as being the station that put on the whole listener event where Bon Jovi recorded his Bad Medicine video.
Oh, wow.
Which actually has a special place in this band's heart, because we've always said that one of these days for a music video, we're going to do what Richie Sambora, Bon Jovi's guitarist, did in the Bad Medicine video. And he's playing along on his guitar, and then he flips it up and it says Bad Medicine on the back.
Right.
So we want to do that in one of our music videos. We're going to keep Bad Medicine on the back, but we just want to give him a little shout out there one of these days.
Well, amazing, amazing. Well, you know what? I know this is only the beginning for you guys, Sean. It's great. It's a great album and a great song and a great story, now that we know the full story behind how it all came about. Definitely makes it more special. So for our listeners out there, now you have to go to Amazon.com or your other online retailers and get 151 or the entire project, Lost in the City, there. Of course, Sean, you guys are all over the place right now. You're staying busy. How can they stay connected with you and what's coming up next for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, most of our breaking news is on Twitter, which actually, if the listeners are listening right now and they want to let me know whether I should get this Ramon shirt or this New York Doll shirt that features a naked cowgirl on it, both of which are shirts that I currently own that are falling apart. And I need to see, you know, nothing really changes with this band. You know, now that we're a little bit farther along, you know, there's a little bit more revenue coming in. But we still, since Crash Midnight's always been a cash business, we have a lot of change, and sometimes, you know, we'll go down. That's my T-shirt money comes from whatever the change I save in a jar, and I'll go down and I'll, you know, cash that out and get a whatever from like a Coinstar thing. And that's how I always go get my T-shirts, because I think it's interesting and cool. So whatever.
Right.
But right now I have the ability to get, you know, two more T-shirts, and I'm looking at replenishing at least the Ramon shirt. I'm thinking about this New York Doll shirt. So all of our fans can shoot us. Let me know which one they think I should get, and we'll go with that. But yeah, on Twitter, Facebook, and we just started Instagram. We're still learning that one.
Okay.
But we're all over there.
Well, you're ahead of me. I still haven't gotten on Instagram yet. I you know, Facebook, Twitter, Google+ are my main weapons of choice. But I mean, Instagram, I think, will be perfect for you guys, because you're on the road. Of course, you get to share, you know, the tour photos and all, and performance photos. I mean, I can see that. No one wants to see me, so I really don't need Instagram for myself yet. When we start doing more in-studio stuff, I guess, you know, maybe then to have pictures with the guests and everything, I guess we'll do that. But definitely, you guys stay connected with Crash Midnight all over the place, at Crash Midnight, of course, on Facebook and Twitter. We've already tagged them on both places there. And then, of course, the website. Make sure you guys go over there. And again, the album is available through your online retailers. Our partner, of course, is Amazon.com. You guys can go to the other guys as well, if that's where you normally go, and to be able to support the album. Sean, it was great catching back up with you. Thank you so much for the time, and looking forward to the next conversation.
Hey, you too, Cyrus. We'll be back here before too long, I'm sure.
All right, then. Looking forward to that for sure. Again, everyone, Sean Soho has been our guest. Make sure you guys are definitely staying connected with the group, as they are definitely moving this year. So make sure you guys are staying connected with them while they're on the road. And, of course, make sure you guys are also supporting the album Lost in the City. If you came in late and you missed part of the conversation with Sean, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the replay right after we go off the air. As I mentioned, I've already tagged both Facebook and Twitter for Crash Midnight. So you guys could go to our page at facebook.com/CyrusWebb, or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWebb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free, and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.